Hello, everyone out there. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio, Texas. It has been a very nice day. The sun has just gone down. As I look out into our backyard, that orangish, yellowish light, orangish, yellowish ball of the sun just dipped below the horizon. There's a whole bunch of trees, Texas-style trees, in the area behind our backyard. Anyway, and also to my left in front is our peach tree, which gave us some very nice peaches this year. I did mention it on a previous show that we have a peach tree, and they were some of the best peaches that I've ever had. Very sweet and juicy. Pretty good, I think, for growing in our backyard. Anyway, I am the author of The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. For right now, it's available in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. It's a book about spiritual subjects, spiritual truths. I'm a truth seeker in everything, and I hope you are too. So tonight I'm going to talk about some subjects in my book. Last week, I was on my way to Houston, talking on my cell phone in the car, and wasn't the best transmission. And so I'm going to go over some of the subjects that I talked about last week to include some new subjects tonight. To begin with, I'd just like to mention the chapters in my, excuse me, the references in my book that I use to gain the knowledge that I have, especially the ones that deal with heaven. So you might be asking yourself, well, why do I want to talk about things like this? Well, there's a lot of violence and evil and negativity, if you will. I don't like to talk about bad things. But I think the time is always right. I was going to say the time is right, but the time is always right for good things. Even esoteric kind of principles, you know, that have to do with the spirit of our inner nature, about God, the universe. I didn't realize that until just recently, but I do now. The time is always right. I had written my book, finished it 8 years ago, and I sat on it. In a way, frightened that I couldn't put that kind of information out, but I had a change of heart. Maybe God spoke to me and told me the time was right. But anyway, here are some books about heaven that really impacted my life with some tremendously wonderful information. The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills. He talks about our pre-existence, how we existed before being born in heaven, and there's many spirits and souls. The soul is the brain of the spirit, you know, just like the brain of the body is the brain is to the body, so the soul is to the spirit. That's why I named my book that, because that's what I believe to be true. And so in our pre-existence, where we came from and where we will return eventually, I know some people won't, because there's all kinds of things that we can do to get us off the path, the mission that we're supposed to accomplish that God gave us before coming to this planet. And some people, as you know, do bad things one reason or another, and it's really a shame. Sometimes it's not their fault, you know, they're raised that way. And so they get off the path, they do things like murder, different kinds of abuse, they don't believe in God, and then they die, and there's a judgment day. And I know there are a lot of atheists out there, but as I've talked about in other shows, my logic for the atheist is Well, if there's all this life on Earth, right? Thousands upon thousands of different bodies, whether fish or insects or birds or mammals, amphibians, reptiles, but all happen by accident, then it could happen by accident logically elsewhere in the universe. And if there are, if there is life elsewhere, perhaps then the idea of God would be more real or relevant. You agree? Maybe. I mean, everyone, atheists and believers. But if there is a creator who made all this life, a creator of bodies, I mean, down to the most incredible details, right? The eyes that can see, you know, like insect eyes, metabolisms, reproductive systems, some that can fly, beautiful bodies. Think about hippopotamuses, elephants, those huge bodies, giraffes with large necks, beautiful birds of all different types, eagles, small birds, hummingbirds, a maker of bodies. Obviously, that creator is so powerful. Can do that. It's like magic. You know, God invented the word magic, really. And we have a dog. Shakira's her name. She just came up and touched me. She might want to go inside. Anyway, I'm out here in my patio, and I've got the back door closed. There's a nice breeze blowing around. There's always a nice breeze here in the outskirts of San Antonio, kind of in the rolling hills, if you will. I love this area. This is, I think, the best place I've lived in. Anyway, so with a creator so powerful and knowledgeable to create all that life, would have to have the power and the knowledge to create life, that same life and maybe different life elsewhere in the universe, and create other planets. I mean, obviously that creator is the creator of planets as well. There's so much more to that. And anyway, now branching off into the subject that I was, or just going back to the subject I began with, The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills. He said that we all existed before coming to Earth. But when we cross over through that, they call it the River of Oblivion, or a veil, we come into this existence here on Earth. We're born, right? And then there's some years we don't remember too much, even though we experienced it all. And there's a way to retrieve those memories. You know, I think hypnosis, learning, rationale. But anyway, I do have some memories when I was 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. Nothing before 2 years old, though. Isn't that strange how that is? I mean, we were alive. We were crawling around and walking around and eating and sleeping and, you know, all that stuff. But anyway, so when we come to Earth, the memory of our pre-existence is erased. But for a very specific reason, because this planet is a Category 1 planet on the evolutionary scale, which is the lowest. And there are 9 categories of planets. And planet Earth then is a place like in a university, the University of the Universe, where we learn basic social values. It's like kindergarten. But it's a very beautiful planet, is it not? I mean, think how big this planet is. And think of the gravity that's keeping it in place, rotating on its axis, revolving around the sun. There's a power that's going on here that is beyond our comprehension. But it's all beautiful. So we're on a ride. Let's enjoy the ride. It's a magical mystery tour, right? And so we were made to forget, but for a specific reason. So we could learn these basic social values. The purpose of the different categories of planets is to evolve. That was God's plan since the beginning, the Big Bang, and the creation of the first solar system, the first galaxy and on and on and on throughout the universe to the Milky Way galaxy and that spiral arm where we are right now and beyond, where there are other suns and solar systems, planets out there, even younger than our own, that are being created, some are that are being created. Suns are being created all the time, right? And one day, you and I, God willing, I think so, we will, we'll be co-creator gods of our own suns and our own solar systems and have our own spirit children, millions of them, and we'll create our own planets. And I put that in my book, and I've learned that from other people. So Roy Mills wrote that book, The Soul's Remembrance, and it's an amazing book because when he said that at one time we all were brought up in front of God and given our mission. And he asked God, can I go to Earth with the remembrance of having existed before being born? And God granted it to him. And so he wrote that book, The Soul's Remembrance. And he's a friend of Betty Eady, who wrote the book, Embraced by the Light. Oh, have you ever thought, you ever wondered what God looks like? Well, when I mention co-creator gods, I mean the creators of our souls and spirits. You know, they came into existence when our spirit mother and father in heaven created us through a process kind of like reproduction here on Earth, but there it's known as merging of the spirits. And I learned this from Sylvia Brown, that great psychic medium who passed away. May God bless your soul. A merging of the spirits is when, because we were created as one part, male and female, and then split in two, like the yin and the yang, the positive, the negative, the alpha, the omega. So the merging of spirits in the spirit realm in heaven is when the spirit mother and father think thoughts in unison, speak those specific words, just like it says in the Bible, God spoke the word, the words, and the world came into existence. Well, that's how planets are created, too. And suns also, by using words. Yes, it's true. So, one day, you and your soulmate, yes, you have a soulmate that you were created with in the spirit realms, and you will create your own spirit children. But you have to evolve first. You're on a Category 1 planet. Yes, we are, which is at the lowest level. Now, there are some, there's some beginning souls here. But there's also a lot of advanced souls. And some that some have gone back and are here to mentor us, to guide us, to be role models, to help us along, because we need help. That's why Jesus came all those years ago, the Jesus that died on the cross. I know I talked about Jesus in the previous show, and I won't go into that right now. But you have to give me just a few seconds here. I'm going to run and turn the light on. Oh, maybe I don't have to. Let me see if I can turn it on here. Nope, I got to hit the switch. So I'm going to take my headphones off for just a second or two. No, 10 seconds. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. So anyway, some other books. Talking to Heaven, James von Prague. Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh. Heaven, Jesse Duplantis. Saved by the Light, Daniel Brinkley. The Heavens Opened, Anna Roundtree. The Golden Promise, Rhonda Hernan. Conversation with the Other Side, with the Conversations with the Other Side, Sylvia Brown. The Fast Lane to Heaven, Neil Dougherty. The wind is really picking up now. Beyond the Darkness, Angie Fenimore. I'm going to talk about this tonight. It's her book, Angie Fenimore's book, is about suicide. She tried to commit suicide. And I'm going to read from the internet. There's this great website where you can go and learn about near-death experiences, which I've read a lot of. I've gained a lot of my knowledge from near-death experiences, people who almost died. How about you? Have you almost died? I almost have. I think I mentioned that. I did mention that on another show in the past. I won't go into that right now, but when you do almost die, it changes your life. Those people who have had that happen to them, they know what I'm talking about. If you are, and you don't have to have that experience, but if you're so fortunate as to not have had one like that, an almost dying experience, and I hope you never will, but if you do, it makes you introspect a lot, if you know what I mean. Anyway, The Gates of Heaven, Rebecca Springer, another beautiful book about a woman who almost died, and she was going back and forth. She eventually did die from an illness, but some of what she wrote in that book is just tremendous knowledge about what heaven is going to be like. And that is so important, really, I believe, with all this negativity going on, that we know what to expect when we get there. It's like planning for a vacation. You know, you take care of all these things. You know where you're going. You want to be prepared. Well, if you pride yourself on your intelligence, and I think most of us do, don't you want to know about something before you get there? And some people, they don't think about it much because they're busy living their lives, involved with, you know, everything during their lives, whether it's working a job, raising children, you know, just eating the same food day after day. Anyway, so what happens when we die? And I've learned this from many different people. As you know, we have a spirit inside our body. In the nighttime when we dream, that spirit comes out and it refreshes our physical bodies by going to this dreamland and sorting out issues and problems that we've had during the day. It's also known as the astral body. Did I say that? Anyway, so what does it look like, the spirit? Well, do you remember the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze? You know, he got killed, and I'm not talking about when he was interacting with everybody, to include Whoopi Goldberg, before the ending. But during the end, when he's getting ready to walk into the light, you know, it's like that bluish, light blue, maybe with all the colors of the rainbow inside, milky white body with a very good outline to it, you know. But it's the same as the physical body. It has the same characteristics, facial characteristics. And when we get to heaven, we can configure to an age 30 mold. That's an amazing thing about the spirit. We can do that. So the spirit, when we die, the spirit pops out of the body. It can pop out through many places, but typically it comes out of the top of the head or the chest. Angels can pull you out of your body, deceased relatives. Some go down a tunnel to a light at the end. And my contention is that light is nothing but a sun, heaven. We are born on the sun. A sun. I say a sun because it might not be the sun of the solar system. Because the sun is a world on fire. But it's a very special fire. It's the fire of God. It's not like when you take a match and light a match. Similar, but different. It's not like the fire that's at the core of the earth with lava, molten lava and fire. Not that kind of fire. And the spirit is made of light energy, billions of electrons. And the spirit is very mobile. It can fly. Isn't that something? You can fly like Superman. Have you ever flown in your dreams? I have. I know all of us. I think all of us have or will. Isn't that amazing? Aren't those dreams awesome? They're the best. So, what else can the spirit do? It can move. It It can move conventionally, like we walk on the ground, above the ground. It can be somewhere just by thinking. If you want to get from A to B, all you have to do is think of B and you're there. So when I die, I've requested that I be taken to heaven in Archangel Gabriel's chariot. Yes, chariot. Heaven is filled with chariots, taking people all over the place, driven by angels. And there's people from all different cultures throughout the centuries in the past. Isn't that amazing? People from all nationalities, cultures, religions, all there. Yes, that's what I believe. And I've learned a lot from other people, especially the book Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. Check out that book, Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. Heaven looks like Earth in many ways. There's trees, there's valleys, there's rivers, lakes, oceans, seas, babbling brooks. There's fields of wheat, trees with the fruit of life, and there's the river of life. When you get to heaven, you're going to, sorry, Shaka, I got my big dog, Shaka, he's down, our big dog. He's right next to me here. So when we get to heaven, we're going to look around and say, oh, thank God I made it. Kiss the ground, because it's made of spirit matter. This world, Earth, is made of physical matter. All physical matter comes from spirit matter. Physical matter's essence is of spirit matter. So, you remember the old Polaroid pictures that we used to take? The negative can be compared to planet Earth, whereas the colored picture itself is like heaven. The colors are so intense, so intense there. And there's colors that maybe we haven't even seen before. Green grass stretching out in distances, cool, beautifully green grass. And everyone's happy. There's no time there. There's no bodily functions. Everyone's joyful. You know, when you don't worry about time, you don't have a clock and a watch on your wrist, and you don't have to go to the toilet all the time, man, you are one happy camper. That's what I've read. So, and chariots, yeah, you remember the, my wife's African American. I'm a member of the Gospel Choir in Lackland Air Force Base at the Freedom Chapel. And we sing some many beautiful gospel songs. I'm constantly amazed at just how beautiful the words are. Let me take a drink of water. There's one song, and I sang it on the way to Houston last week, but I think the transmission was so bad, I'll just forget about that show. But anyway, it goes like this. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. They just didn't make that up, you know. They just didn't make that up, you know. It's not a fantasy. It's what actually happens. Near-death experience has been going on for long, ever since the beginning, you know, thousands of years ago. Anyway, so when we get to heaven, one of the first things, if you're fortunate, is you're going to be greeted by Father Abraham. And he's a big barrel-chested man with a big beard, and he's very jolly. He'll hand you a golden goblet with water from the River of Life and say, drink, fellow citizen of heaven. You've lived a good life on earth. Now rejoice in your reward here in heaven. Welcome to this land of eternity. Although, you know, we can reincarnate later on, but that's another story. So you take that goblet, and we can drink. We can drink and eat when we're in heaven as spirits. We can do that, even though there are no bodily functions. Go figure, huh? But that's cool. You know, I mean, there's some things we can't explain about our body. And I need to let one of our dogs in the back door. Okay. No, you're going to have to stay, okay? Can you just stay? You can go outside if you want. Well, I'm going to have to put the headphone down to let our dog in the back door. I'll be right back. Give me 10 seconds. Okay, sorry about that. So I let the two dogs in, Shaq and Shakira, and then Goldie, the American Pit Bull Terrier, wanted to come out. Anyway, so heaven. I think, as I mentioned, one of the most incredible things is we're going to realize that there are people there from all cultures, all eras throughout our history, the history of the world. Some that have been there for thousands of years, thousands of our years, even though there's no time in heaven. It's going to be so beautiful, and there's going to be feasts, tables, with huge tables with all this great food, with the fruit from the tree of life, bread, vegetables. I don't know about fish and meat. Probably not, right? Not meat. Maybe fish. I don't know. And then there's water, beautiful water from the pure, obviously, pristine water. All the seas, lakes, oceans, rivers are just pristine. As a spirit, you can go in the water and go down beneath the water. Of course, you don't drown because, you know, you're a spirit. Oh, there's so much to learn about heaven. And as I mentioned, there's chariots all taking people all over the place. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the main things that we do when we're in heaven is praise the Creator for the miracles of all creation. Because really, when I stop and think about it, all this came into existence out of nothing. So even an ant, take an ant or an apple seed. So something so small, but it's all amazingly beautiful. And so we're going to be praising God, praising the Creator. So let me, and I've mentioned this before in previous shows, The creator of the universe is over and above. There's a hierarchy. You know, co-creator gods of suns and solar systems and galaxies are different than the original creator of the universe, the supreme creator. And that creator is an amazing, amazing spirit, just huge, incredibly huge, comprehensively huge, a spirit, right? And that creator is magical, powerful beyond comprehension. That creator started everything. And the purpose of that creator's plan was that we could be like him, her, but we would go out, we would have all these lives, we would be on this evolutionary journey. We would learn all these things. We'd have all these experiences. And then we would assimilate all of our experience, all of our knowledge into that ocean of spirit that the Supreme Creator has, just like a drop of water, adding to that ocean of spirit. It's all about growth. It's all about expansion. It's all about increasing intellect. That's what God, the Supreme Creator, is all about. Have you ever looked into a nebula out there in outer space, pictures from the space shuttle, the Hubble Space Telescope? At times I could see images of what the Supreme Creator might look like. It can be very frightening. It's so beautifully powerful and amazing. Anyway, so that's a little bit about heaven. And to get there, we have to live good lives. Well, I consider myself more Christian than any other religion, but I believe in all religions. I believe they all have some truth, but obviously, right, they all can't be true with all these different religions. So I think there's only one truth, and that's universal truth. Something can either be right or wrong. As far as Christianity is concerned, there's one misinterpretation in the Bible, I think. And that is, the Christians believe that there's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus. I don't think that's true. And that is because we are all children of God, right? And another misinterpretation of the Bible says that God gave his only begotten Son. Well, no, we are all children of God. Begotten Son, I don't believe that. Even Jesus himself taught us how to pray by saying, Our Father, logically, right? When he said, Our Father, hello. Anyway, we are all children of God. That's the truth. And we can have a direct relationship with our Creator. We don't need no intermediary. If people want to believe that, that's fine. But as far as my life is concerned, I don't need any intermediary. I've learned from the Bible. It's been a stepping stone for me. But sometimes it's lack details, and I know there are some misinterpretations because it's been rewritten all those times, translated over the years, and it's just a book. It's only a book. You can put your faith in any book you want. Try to tell the Muslims or the Buddhists that your book is more right than theirs. You can't. You just can't. So what you have to really do is develop yourself spiritually. That's what it's all about. It's not about religion. It's not about a money-making business. It's about yourself and your spirit and finding your way back to heaven. The Bible is one way of doing it. It's got a lot of great words in there, a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge. But there are so many other ways to learn the truth. Anyway, so are we alone in the universe? Hi. Sorry, pal. Our big dog, he wanted to come out. I bumped him on the nose here. Well, I just let you inside the house and you want to come out again. You got to make your mind up, buddy. Okay. Stay. No, I'm trying. Hey, go on. Go lie down. Go on. So, in my opinion, the universe is teeming with life. As I mentioned before, you know, about all this life on Earth, there's life out there. Right now, we're kind of like in a Copernican gap. We don't know, we don't have proof, but we don't need proof. If you want some proof that there's life out there, here's something for you. I gave you some examples the last show or the show before. Have you ever heard about the movie Fire in the Sky? Travis Walton. He said he was abducted, taken aboard a spaceship for 5 days. It was a Hollywood movie, Fire in the Sky, right? Snowflake, Arizona in the 70s. These six guys, loggers, that were chopping down these trees for this company. They were contractors, right? At the end of the day, they're heading back home, driving down a dirt road through the woods, through the forest. They saw a light, they came up to the light, and there was a flying saucer hovering above the ground. Now, anyone that thinks that didn't happen, you're just wrong. Those guys, those six guys, they all took polygraph tests. They all passed it. They all said the same thing. One of them, Travis Walton, was knocked to the ground by what I could best describe as an anti-gravity magnetic, electromagnetic field that he unwittingly put himself in. So, you know, I saw him on Larry King Live. This was in the 70s, but there was a guy that came on, a debunker, a well-known debunker, that tried to tell them that it was all a product of their imagination and that it didn't actually happen to them. But these guys, those six guys, their lives were changed. And Travis Walton, to this day, is touring around talking about what happened to him. Such an intelligent man. You know, what happened to him was amazing. He was taken aboard a spaceship. He met these extraterrestrials from I don't know what galaxy, what planet. But they were the kind of stereotypical 5 feet tall, big heads, big eyes, very, very intelligent. Obviously, their spaceship was capable of light travel, you know, interdimensional travel. And he met these other beings that looked like humans. And anyway, so he got kind of toasted by this anti-gravity electromagnetic field that he put himself into. In the movie, it showed that he was hit by a beam like it was some kind of weapon, but I don't believe that is what actually happened. And for those that don't believe that, I didn't mean to say that you're wrong. I was a little bit strong. And one thing I don't want to do on my radio show is talk anything negative. It's all has to be positive. But, I mean, we have to believe these people. There are some people that try to make money and get some fame from things like that. And usually what they wind up doing is getting ridiculed. I mean, people make fun of them and their lives afterwards are nothing but misery. And they think, oh man, why did that have to happen to me? I wish that hadn't happened, but it did happen with him. You know, they were those five guys and then the one that was abducted. They thought that they had killed Travis Walton. And so everyone thought that. Thank God that he showed up 5 days afterwards. And the spaceship dropped him off near the town of Hebra. And he had to walk into town and he called his brother and they went and picked him up. And it's a movie, right? And it's a book. Amazing. But in my opinion, that is all the evidence I need. You know what I'm saying? I can piece that together. I've told you about the UFO that was in Phoenix, you know, the mile-wide spaceship that flew over Phoenix in 1997. And in Hudson Valley, New York, the UFO, triangular-shaped UFO that what 5,000 people saw in the 1980s. And the alien face crop circle in England. Those are some examples of many that are out there. In my book, I've got a chapter, Types of Extraterrestrials, and I'd like to read to you one part of it. I mentioned several that I'm familiar with, and there's so much to talk about. But let me read this ending of the chapter here. I say, as I mentioned previously, there are many other types of extraterrestrials I'm familiar with. Please keep in mind, all sentient beings are indigenous to their planet, which can vary in category. Additionally, just because they may seem strange or grotesque to us, does not give us the right to question the Creator's original intent or purpose. Some of those type include the race called the Greys from the Zeta Reticuli solar system. The Greys are the aliens known from the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That was a good movie, right? These particular aliens are from the large Magellanic Cloud Galaxy. No, excuse me. The crash of an alien spacecraft at Roswell, New Mexico in 1947 did occur. In fact, those particular aliens were from the large Magellanic Cloud Galaxy. And there are small, child-sized extraterrestrials with large pear-shaped heads and dark eyes. Indeed, there are several variations of the small alien beings with either gray or tannish colored skin, large heads, and large black or brown eyes, either normal, slanted, or wrap around. There are some extraterrestrials that resemble human beings and have blonde hair and blue eyes. I've read about a type that are almost as wide as they are tall, about 5 feet, with blue colored skin, flat mongoloid style faces, and hair that resembles colored feathers. I've read about another type female that has orange skin, green hair, and four breasts. Other types have scaly skin, some with skin similar to that of the bark of a tree. I know of an alien approximately 4 feet tall with a horn on his forehead and eyes at the end of the horn, similar to a fly. Throughout the universe, there are extraterrestrials that resemble our red-skinned Americans, beings with black skins, like here on Earth, and also Oriental, Asian types. Sizes can vary from foot-tall, human being-like aliens to other types upwards of over 10 feet tall. There are also aliens that resemble animals, cats, horses, dogs, as well as reptiles, amphibians, and birds. As far as appendages are concerned, some are like humans, while others vary to include much longer fingers, 3 or 4 finger hands, 2 thumbs on each hand, etc. Also, some have feet with different numbers of toes or variations of feet-like extremities. So that's from my book, Different Types of Extraterrestrials. And how about categories of planets? Let me read to you from my book, Categories of Planets. Throughout the universe, within the thousands upon thousands of solar systems, a number easier to understand than millions that there actually are, each and every planet that was created has a specific purpose. Indeed, it is only logical to adopt an attitude of being awestruck when it comes to the miracle and glory involved in the creation of any one single planet. Whether for their specific size and masses, gravity, atmospheres, or magnificent colors, a planet is an ultimate creation, likened only as to the creator, his or herself, a cosmic being in its own right, from its molten core to its gaseous skies, and from its rotation to its revolution. A planet is alive with a spirit whose origin is from a divine and infinitely great source. Generally speaking, each and every solar system is comprised of a sun and 9 planets. However, planets are lost for one reason or another, and some are added, but a solar system will eventually revert back to the number 9. Planets are created on an evolutionary scale from 1 to 9. Each planet provides a specific type of spirituality for the sentient life they were created to house. A Category 1 planet can be compared to a kindergarten in our schooling system, providing an environment to learn basic social values. Among those values, learning patience, not to judge other people, practicing humility, and ultimately loving one another are at the core. Category 1 planets are the initial introduction to the physical universe for the spirits and souls who are newly created. However, they are also visited by other higher evolved spirits who have chosen to reincarnate and be involved with teaching or missions as role models within their lifetimes. This applies to all the 9 categories inasmuch as some beings choose to regress for those very purposes. Our planet Earth is a Category 1 planet. Unfortunately, throughout the universe, Category 1 planets have earned the nickname Planets of Sorrow. The name is well earned as a result of the war, savagery, pain, and suffering that prevails throughout their histories. However, Category 1 planets were designed that way by the Supreme Creator for a specific reason, to provide the type of learning environment we as young spirits and souls need to evolve and develop spiritually. Surrounding our planet and every planet, there exists a psychosphere. All of the events that have occurred throughout our history are indelibly etched into the psychosphere. All the wars and unkindness, and similarly, the compassion and good deeds as well. Indeed, this planet has a spirit, and the nature of her spirit is to evolve, to seek change in accordance with her prime directive, spiritual development. Planet Earth is a young planet, relatively speaking, and so is also what can be considered as an aggressive planet. Animals eat each other as well as attacking and sometimes eating humans. Earthquakes are common, as are also volcanoes, hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes, lightning, tidal waves, and flooding. Consequently, we should believe in the power of our planet and that it can and does affect us sometimes in ways that can best be described as negative. More so, It affects all of us and leads to our mutual impatience and intolerance of each other. Unkindness in our thoughts and deeds is usually and unwittingly passed along from one of us to the other. Although thinking positive thoughts and doing good deeds occur all the time as well, unfortunately, the cold, unkind thoughts and deeds create a ripple effect that normally supersedes the good ripple effect. Additionally, there is another factor involved with the negativity we encounter. Mother Earth is a living, breathing planet and is changing and evolving. Naturally, she demands the same of us. Since we are not living harmoniously with nature and are in fact degrading and destroying the environment, ecological systems, we are encountering resistance of a subtle yet detectable nature. Some people call this negativity the devil. According to my studies, the myth of the devil was first created approximately 5,000 years ago in Egypt. Egypt had been established by the uniting of two groups, the Nagas in the north and the Mayan Atlanteans elsewhere. Their first king, Pharaoh, was a man named Mena, followed by Akhenaten. During those years, a powerful clergy of evil priests had arisen who sought to control the people for obvious reasons, power and money. Consequently, the myth of the devil was perpetuated and eventually found its way into the Old Testament. However, I do believe in a form of spirit commonly known as a demon, and also bad other than good spirit beings. However, they belong to the Creator and are performing their function and purpose in accordance with the master plan, namely providing punishment and behavior of a nature necessary to reintroduce and reassert spiritual values. And by the way, the devil is Archangel Lucifer, and he also works for God, in my opinion. But he has no power equal to God, and he did not rebel, because God does not make mistakes. And if God had foreseen something like that happened, it wouldn't have happened, if you know what I mean. Carrying on, similarly, on the evolutionary scale, Category 2 planets can be compared to a first or second grade, teaching greater deals on a much larger scope. In other words, beyond the immediate home planet and into the universe. Inhabitants of a Category 2 planet practice constructive and meaningful interaction. Development of spirituality is first and foremost. Love and respect are observed among all beings. Cooperation is of the essence. Foundations are laid for the constant praise and worship of the omnipotent and omniscient loving creator of the universe. Constant thanks are given for the miracle of all creation. There are thousands of sentient beings throughout the universe, each one indigenous to the home planet they reside on. Their physical bodies were divinely created for compatibility with that specific category of planet. Universal law dictates all physical bodies are compatible with only that category of planet they were created for. A physical body of a specific lower category can exist on a higher category planet, but only for limited periods of time. Likewise, the evolutionary scale continues up to the Category 9, which could be compared as to a level commensurate with a doctorate or Ph. degree. Specifically, attaining absolute knowledge and the mastery of universal laws and principles, technology and properties, and attributes of the spirit. Well, let me say that last sentence again. Specifically, attaining absolute knowledge and the mastery of universal laws and principles, technology and properties and attributes of the spirit. Hey. Okay, that was Shocker you heard there in the background. I might have to let him in. You can't keep going in and out, Shocker. Stay. Come on. Okay, I've got 10 minutes to go. I was going to tell you about this story. I don't think I have enough time. Anyway, so This last week, I'll try to do, give you a quick story, tell you a quick story. When I was, because last week we had sexual assault and sexual harassment day. Wednesday we had to wear denim. We were asked to wear denim in regard to the show consideration for sexual assault and sexual harassment. Of course, I believe that we ought to treat women better. Or usually it's the males that mistreat the females, right? Occasionally there are exceptions, but it's usually the men who are either sexually harassing or sexually assaulting the females. So obviously that's against God's will. Whenever, anytime we interfere with the will of another human being, that is contrary to God's will. But anyway, I'd like to tell you a quick story about this woman I saved from getting raped when I was a senior in high school. I was in the American High School of Guadalajara, Mexico. It was 1973. We were on our senior trip. We went to the coast to a resort called Malacay. And there was this woman named, young woman named Susan Campbell. And the English teacher was with us, and two Mexican twins, the whole class. But at one time during the day, a friend of mine, we swam out across the bay to this little island, and we had a little bottle of whiskey. I can't remember if I had any black velvet. And so he stayed. I swam back across the bay. It was getting dark. The sun was going down. So when I came upon the beach, the English teacher, the two Mexican twins, and Susan Campbell asked me if I'd walk with them over to around the bay, which was like a U-shaped bay, so they could watch the sun go down. They wanted me to, you know, to be with them to protect them and just show them the way. It was kind of rocky along the coast over there, and so I did. We went around there, and we watched the sunset. And when it was getting dark, we started to head back, and I walked on ahead, and I was making my way through the rocks, and all of a sudden I heard Susan screaming. So I thought, well, what could it be? Did she step on a scorpion maybe? So I ran back, and there in the kind of like semi-darkness, there was a little bit of light left, she was down on the ground, and a man was on top of her. She had her bathing suit on. He ripped her top off. And so I came up to him, I pushed him, I said, what are you doing in Spanish? ¿Qué estás haciendo? And he got up and he punched me in the face. In the meantime, the English teacher and the two Mexican twins were coming up also behind. Where we were was kind of like a little rocky knoll. And so they heard what was going on, but they were a little bit frightened, I think. They didn't want to, involve themselves at that particular time. So anyway, he went back to doing what he had been doing before, if you know what I mean. So I started to talk with him. And I guess God was with me at the time, because if I had like picked up a rock and tried to hit him, I heard later he had a machete and he might have killed me. He might have killed her. Anyway, so I talked with him and I said that she was my girlfriend. We were going to get married, which was a lie, but I guess sometimes little white lies work, don't they? You know? I said I would take him to the red light district in the town, and I'd pay for him, you know, if you know what I mean. Anyway, so I kept talking with him and talking with him. Finally, he got up and he walked away. He said, "Ya estuvo," which means I've had enough. So there we were. He had ripped off her bathing suit, and it was dark. And the English teacher and the two Mexican twins, they came up And we said, okay, well, we don't want to go walking in the area direction that he's just left, right? Because he might change his mind. He might come back. He might meet us somewhere. So we said, we're going to have to get in the water. We're going to have to swim across the bay. And there were sharks in the bay, too. And I'd known that earlier in the day, but I didn't care. I was young, bold. So we made it back to the beach. And the twins went and got a towel, and they covered up Susan, you know, because she didn't have any clothes on. And so we called the police, and the police came, and we explained what had happened. And then we went to bed. In the morning, I heard a knocking at the door. We had like a little cottage. And I went outside. The sun, you know, was in my eyes. I was kind of wiping the sleep from my eyes. And there was the police and all kinds of people standing around. And they said to me, they asked me, is that the guy from last night? And they had this guy in handcuffs. So I looked at him, and I looked around, walked around him, and I said, yeah, that's him. You know, he's a stocky guy, maybe 200 pounds, Mexican fisherman, right? And, but we couldn't press any charges because we had to, our bus was leaving to go back to Guadalajara. We would have had to go down to the police station to file the report. So I found out afterwards that he'd actually raped a woman before. So we were very fortunate. And for that, and also that we didn't get hurt. After that, people looked at me in a different light. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. I pray that may God bless all of us. May God guide us and protect us. Thank you for listening. I love you very much. I love everyone. I'm trying to, you know. So until next time, my name is Blake Ruby. I'm the author of The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. Take care, and I'll talk with you next week, God willing. Bye-bye.